Sherry.
Why don't you come up here and have a seat while I'm
talking? So, this is Sherry Ober from EMM. And Sherry and I have had a long relationship of many emails. You remember when I came here as pastor. So I was rookie pastor. You guys brought me in. And I can't tell you how, when I look back on it now, how swirling things were for me. And the first thing I remember was, we need to do dramas because we've been done dramas and they were great for us. And then the next thing I heard was, man, we've had a lot of mission teams go off through MDS, and we've had people on the mission field through EMM. Pastor Dale, we need to do these things. And I have to tell you, part of my frailty was that I didn't know how to approach that. I was just looking for someone, and I'd always say, if you brought that up to me, I would say, well, do you want to lead it? And invariably you said, no, that's why you're pastor. But I never thought to start praying along the lines of, God, will you raise people up? Now, Sherry and I actually have kind of a long story regarding our emails and the kind of confusion and miscommunication in the middle of communication. But this is not an accident that she's finally here to talk to you. Because she shared with me last week, she goes, I think I'm going to tell some stories. Would that be okay if I tell some stories? And even as the last few days processed and even this morning processed, it just seems to me that the Holy Spirit is just releasing this for a morning, for the stories to pull us in to a calling from God. And he's got to be the one who does it. He's got to be the one who does it. So I'm very grateful for Sherry Ober being here, being willing to share in front of you. By the way, she is probably, even though we're a small group, she's probably a little nervous. She said, I'm not used to speaking in front of larger groups, okay? So a few smiles, some laughter, responses would probably be very, very helpful for Sherry. But Sherry, why don't you come? I'd like to pray over you. Lord, again, we recognize your spirit and your servant, Sherry. Thank you for bringing her here safely through mm-hmm. the storm. Mm-hmm. Thank you for her willingness to come and be your minister. I ask for a fire mm-hmm. of your spirit to be over her head as she shares with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Dale. Tim, I promise to stay for question and answer time as long as people don't make the questions too hard. Just want to mention that. I should have brought my husband along. I know I should have brought my husband along because the first person I saw back there was George with that long beard of his. And I said, my husband would fit right in because he keeps growing this beard. And I'm like, what are you doing? But it keeps growing and growing. And Well, anyway, I just am learning more and more what it means to live in the moment. And as I'm sitting here, this is a precious moment for me. I'm honored to be here, and I thank you for all the beautiful faces that I see and the laughter. And there's another guy back there with a long beard. I see you back there. And so seriously, though, living in the moment. You see and capture so much of God's heart when you live in the moment. Coming here, the beautiful colored leaves and Susquehanna, right? Along the right side here, it was just very beautiful, and I was just praising the Lord on the way here for that. So I want to begin by showing a two-minute video, and then I want to come back, have a little bit of interaction with you all. Some responses, I hope, and then just kind of jump into sharing some stories, my own included, a little bit of my own included. So we'll see the video and then go from there.
Parents, teachers, Study hard, they say. Go to church. Be nice to others. Try out lots of things and excel in something. You'll get accepted into a good college, connect with a good church, finish a degree. You'll get a good paying job, and life will be good. Really? Isn't that kind of a small story, maybe even an irrelevant story in the real world? A world of increasing isolation and loneliness, of violence against the soul, of wars that aren't ending, of cancer, terrorism, hatred, legalism, depression, illiteracy, emptiness, famine and hunger, division, pettiness, Alzheimer's, violent crime, poverty, sex trafficking, apathy, rudeness, pollution, suicide, corruption, gang violence, panic, chaos. A world running short on hope. Is this state of the world inevitable? Is this what God intended? Where's the good life in the middle of such a mess? Wait a minute. I've got to look beyond the sad, messed up, horrible headlines. Got to listen to the other story. A story that's just as real as all the chaos and pain, even though it's mostly unhealthy. A movement of people filled with hope and love. People captivated by a beautiful, invisible, glorious God who has good plans for our planet. People who believe the transformation of the mess is not only possible, but inevitable. Believe it so deeply, they've dedicated themselves to lifelong, joyful obedience to this God. These disciples of Jesus are comforting, healing, helping, renaming, rebuilding, restoring, announcing good news. All around the world, even in the hardest, darkest places, Jesus is transforming lives. And these transformers turn around and multiply the transformation into other lives, eventually impacting whole communities. Not overnight, bit by bit. Not without lots of messy moments, grace by grace. Not without sacrifice, love, and then more love. I hear it. Our invitation from the author of the story, the one with the huge heart of love, the plans for good, is inviting us to risk believing the kingdom of God will come on earth, to be filled with the spirit of Jesus, to move humbly and boldly in our world, to spark transformation. It only takes one word to get connected, to be written into the story. Yes.
Follow that. I know those fast flashes drive my husband crazy when he watches that video, but anyway. Yeah, so story. Now, when EMM says, or Eastern Mennonite Missions, says that we are disciples, to making disciples, what does that mean to you? Disciples to make disciples. How do we be disciples and be that? Alongside, yeah. Yeah, side by side. And my family was like, "What are you doing?" But it's all a part of God's plan. And I met his mom, Margaret. Now, Margaret was a beautiful, beautiful conservative Christian, Church of the Brethren woman. I never saw her with a pair of pants on, covering. So I grew up in a broken home. I grew up with a lot of emotional pain. And I never knew what a Christian was. I never had met a Christian before I met Margaret. And like I said, she was the face of Jesus to me. She modeled Jesus in my life. I've learned and realized in these 37 years that being the face of Jesus, no matter where you are, and if it's your next door neighbor, if it's on a bus in the mountains of Morocco, wherever you are called, I recognize that God has used that brokenness in my life to bring me to the place where I am today. In 2 Corinthians 1:4, it says that God allows us to go through these things to comfort us so that we in turn can comfort others with that same comfort we ourselves have received. It's a part of my story, that brokenness. It's a part of your story, the brokenness that you may have experienced in your life and maybe even are experiencing now. In Charles Stanley's book, The Blessings on Brokenness, he writes, "Perhaps you've already experienced circumstances so shattering, you may wonder today whether it's even possible to pick up the pieces. And maybe you can't, but God can. And the good news is, he wants to reassemble the shards of your life into a wholeness that only the broken can know." Isn't that beautiful? So when we walk with a limp, it's good. I'm talking maybe like a spiritual limp, if you will, because it represents a wrestling with God. I think it was Abraham that wrestled at the ford of Jabbok and walked away with a limp. He wrestled and he came out on the other side. And there was evidence of a story there in his life. We have evidences of that brokenness as well. So I wanted to share a couple of stories. I shared a little bit about my story of brokenness. I asked permission from a beautiful gal that's a dear friend of mine who is an alumni of EMM if I could share part of her story. However, as a young adult, she made some really bad decisions. She made some bad choices, which led her down a very dark road to a very dark place. When Becky found herself at her lowest, she cried out to God and committed her life to him. So she wanted to give back. She didn't understand what that all meant, but she wanted to give back. She wanted to be the face of Jesus. She wanted to model what there was some, because of the choices that she had made before, there was some rejection from people that came out of that. And so she very hesitantly contacted EMM leadership training, and I approved her for an assignment. So she found herself with a wonderful team. This was several years ago now, a wonderful team that she stays in touch with today. And she continues ministry today. In fact, she asked me to be praying for her today because she's doing something special in her church. And I said, I'll pray for you if you pray for me. But anyway, so we're praying for one another. And so Becky would have never dreamed that God could and would use her brokenness and redeem her years of darkness. But he is. And because we remain good friends, like I said, I have the honor of sharing a bit of her story here this morning. And I'm applying for an assignment with EMM. By the way, EMM stands for Eastern Mennonite Missions, but there is a tagline that says, "Everyone moving in missions." EMM, everyone moving in missions. I was with an alumni yesterday. She wanted to take me out for some ice cream. I said, yeah, I'm all about that. So we went out for some ice cream. And my daughter told me she's going to bury me with an ice cream cone in my hand. I love ice cream. And so she thought it meant, because she dances, she's a dancer, spiritual dance, and I thought that was a cute little slip of the tongue for her, being that she's a dancer. Justin, on the video that we just saw, and I hope you could understand it, he was one of two gentlemen over the last several years, I'm not kidding you, that has a passion for Germany. And so I met him, and he went and served in Germany in Kaiserslautern for, I'm sure you know where that is, for a year, and continues to stay in touch with EMM in different ways. Tyler. Tyler is a young man who also has a heart for Germany. And I met him over coffee last year, and he tried a couple of times to get to Germany. However, because of that, he did contact EMM, and he did serve in Halle, Germany, which is Eastern Germany, former Communist Germany. And he has made some back to Halle to be with his friends, Muslim friends, former, some of them Muslim friends are now Christians, for a longer term of service. So Tyler, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, he might be a lottie here. What was that? Did I miss something? Oh, I didn't ask you how old you are. Megan and I had that conversation over coffee this morning before we started. She asked me how old I think she is. I know how old she is. She told me. She missed my age by about 10 years, made me a bit older, but I forgive you for that, Megan. Grace to you. So anyway, Tyler is your age group and just has a real heart and real passion to serve. So, yeah, and then what I wanted to say is that I talk about going to Central Asia, going to Germany and lots of other places in the world, but you know what? It happens right next door, right in your own backyard. You don't have to travel far. Maybe just stand by the fence and talk to your neighbor. And God has been putting on my heart a real passion. And I think, Tim, you mentioned the word a while ago, community. Was it you that mentioned community? Somebody mentioned community. You did. That's it. You did. I'm a huge dog lover, and I love Romeo, but my husband does not. The whole time him and Bob were standing at the fence, Bob picks up the ball, throws it, comes back. And so this is just driving my husband nuts. But anyway, grace. So that night when we were sitting in their living room, hearing their laments, Bob says to us, "Now, if anything happens to us, you get Romeo." I knew what my husband was saying. Ain't gonna happen, ain't gonna happen. But I'm thinking, yeah, whatever. But you meet, they love Romeo. And I love dogs, and I understand that. I was the only child growing up in a broken home, but I always had my dog. And after I became a Christian, I realized years later, you know what? God showed me his attributes through my dog. Unconditional love. Always there when you want, you know, when you need them. So anyway, I walked away from that evening meeting with Bob and Irene, and I just had this incredible sense that God wanted me to go around to the neighbors, cross the street, side by on the other side, go to our neighbors and say, "Hey, once you..." I remember last summer. Okay, there's two things I love: dogs, well, my family and God, of course, dogs and the beach. And so every year, my mom and my daughters packed out in the summer. And I remember this, I think I'll remember this for the rest of my life. I stood up, and all I could see were people and umbrellas all of all colors. All of this, and I don't know how much time I've used up, I don't know if I should keep talking, I don't know, but I just want to say that in sharing this, we all have a story. I have a story. You have a story. God knows the story. God knows the story that you've told. God knows the story that has not yet been told, the untold story of God's faithfulness and unconditional love for us. He continues to call us as well to share our story. So EMM's core values are well-being, multiplication, and obedience. Those are EMM's three core values. And they look different. And they look maybe in Germany, maybe in Central Asia, maybe in Southeast Asia, maybe in Europe, wherever it is. Maybe next door by the fence while the dog's yapping away. I want to share one more video, who's in this video. She is from Colorado, a dear, precious friend as well. And she went on a yes team to Indonesia. And she came back and went through reentry with us.
Staff are considered missionaries. Any kid is welcome at the tiny school of 45 students, and tuition is only $25 a month. About halfway through the year, Lauren realized the simplicity of her mission. The students didn't need her. A young boy, Chance, was still healing from experiencing loss at a young age. As Lauren spent time with him in classes, field trips, and talks, she saw God working in him. When she left, Chance asked if they would meet again. She said, absolutely. That's what made Lauren love Baltimore so much. Children like Chance are looking for someone to be the instrument God uses. That's all. Now Lauren is going back to Mount Clare Christian School. This time, she's joining the staff as the middle school supervisor because she's learned that missions isn't an event. It's life. God led her to share life with this community alongside future leaders, creators, and mentors like Chance. Now, Lauren is choosing to launch into life on mission.
Serve in Baltimore with EMM. You don't need a degree to respond to God's call that He's putting on your soul. Granted, there are some countries in the world where you do need a degree to go in and to serve. But that's not always the case. And so I have set up a display out there with different opportunities, both local to EMM and Lancaster and other places around the world as well, in the United States included. But I just want to say, God's heart is for you to hear what He's calling you to do and to move out in that. So let me bless you. May you be blessed with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may you be blessed with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done.